welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and as I already mentioned, I'm very excited about what I have to say this morning. The title of my talk is Forget About It. Forget About It. And I think it's funny, I didn't plan it this way. At least I don't remember planning it this way, but you know the old memory, sometimes we forget things. But last week was the unforgotten, and this week we're talking about forgetting. So somehow we are looking at the yin and the yang of religious science and New Thought and Reverend Karen. We got it all packaged up into one big bundle. And the quotation that I used to inspire me for writing the message this week comes from Ernest Holmes' book published in, excuse me. I knew we'd have fun today. Ernest Holmes published Creative Mind and Success in 1919, 101 years ago. And these are the short, brief words that I want to speak about today. He said, freedom comes to the individual from understanding the laws of one's own life. Freedom comes to us as we begin to understand there are certain laws in the universe and there are laws for our own lives. And that's what Reverend Cheryl's back. Woo, all is well in the sanctuary. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to have some good fun. And I thought I would kick off the fun with a great story that's an anecdotal story. An experience from my life happened about 6 or 7 years ago. And it's where I got the title for the talk this morning. And I have been dying to tell this story, but I could not figure a context to put it in where I could get away with telling you this funny story. So 6 or 7 years ago, I was having, my family and I were having one of those occasions where we were having a lengthy hospital experience. I was the visitor, not the patient, as happens often in our family. And a little uncomfortable. I'm going to make it all okay. Just hang with me here. And so we were in that phase about 3 weeks in of going to the hospital every day and doing the things that needed to be done as in terms of being an advocate for the one you love who's in the hospital bed. And so after they moved Hugh from ICU, they took him up to another floor. We were at the West. You need to know this. It's part of the relevance, the meaning of the story. We were at the West Valley Hospital. I think they've changed the name since then. But we lived over in Litchfield Park, so that was the hospital. And it's not those round cylinder buildings, you know. It's that long hall where when you walk down the long hall, there are hospital rooms on both sides of the long hall. So you need to know that. So we're over there. They move him up to the fourth or the fifth floor. They called it telemetry or something like that, meaning that he wasn't getting worse, but he wasn't getting better, and we were in the process of moving him into extended care. Well, in that last week we were there, I don't know what happened, but there was a new roommate down the hall that required an armed guard at the door. 24/7 there was this, and it wasn't just a hired security cop, at least it didn't look like it to me. It was one of those big, burly people with a big looking gun, and he was there doing business. He never smiled, and he was there all the time, morning, noon, and night. Who? The high sheriff. He's the high sheriff. So, so one night I had been there all day long. It's dark. It's time for me to head for home now. And so I go out in the hall, and I'm walking down the hall, and just as I pass that room, I see these two men dressed in sort of suits and very interesting looking, coming out of that room. And so now they come and they're following me down the hall and they're talking to each other really serious and they're speaking in Italian. Okay? So I already made up this opinion that something serious has happened in that patient, whoever that patient, that unseen patient is, And now these two mafiosa looking dudes are coming out of the room, speaking Italian in their Tony Soprano clothes, and I'm walking to the elevator and I'm thinking, oh God, they're gonna get in the elevator with me. I'm gonna be alone in the elevator with the mafia. And so we get in the elevator and I go in first and I stand really close to the door and push the button so that I won't be stuck behind them. You know, I'm thinking safety conscious, you know, I'm scared. And the elevator door is closed and the guys are talking in Italian and I'm just listening. And then all of a sudden one of them says, in the middle of this bunch of Italian words and sentences, he goes, forget about it. And then he keeps speaking in Italian. Now, I don't know if it was my nerves or what, but I started laughing really loud. And so one of them, and I am not making eye contact, so one of them goes, ah, oh, geez, she speaks Italian. I'm telling you, I could feel the cement drying around my ankles. It's like, oh no, they think I know something I shouldn't know. You know what's going to happen next? And so the elevator doors open and I scamper out. And now they're chatting about me behind me in English so I can hear them. And again, they have that whole Bronx, New Jersey kind of accent that's kind of scary. And so I start playing a little bit because I don't know what else to do, you know, and we're having this banter, but the scary thing was that every time I made a turn in the parking lot, it seemed like they were following me. And so, you know, there were a lot of places they could have parked, but every time I turned, they continued to follow me. And so finally, I turn around, and one of them says to me, we were talking, and one of them says to me, look, and he puts up that big Italian finger in my face, and he goes, you got to be careful. You got to appreciate every day, because you know what? All of this could be gone in a minute. And so in my innocence, I said, I know, my husband's up there on the same floor. It's, you know, it's really serious, and yeah, I know what you mean. And then I just darted to my car. Unfortunately, they went in a different direction, and you know, and then we all went our own way. I, of course, looked in my rearview mirror a long time, drove around the block a time or two before I went home alone. But so I had this experience, you know, forget about it. And so I've been thinking that it would be a really good talk. And this morning what I want to talk to you about is the Italian mafiosa idea of forget about it. You with me? Okay, so I'm going to put it into a spiritual principle so that it makes sense for our time here this morning. And in the true spirit of cultural diversity, what we will actually be talking about is the spiritual principle of forget about it ability. Forget about ability. Okay? New spiritual principle. You need this. You need this in your bag of tricks. Did you ever have one of those days where your mind is going in 100 different directions and you just want to tell it to stop? You know, I feel like that movie with Cher, you know, snap out of it. You know, sometimes I just hear that in my head when I've got that one of those busy mind days where my mind is just racing like crazy all over the place. It's when I wish it would learn that forget about it principle. Or the other side of that is sometimes something is going on in our life or something has happened in some way and we keep repeating the scenario in our head, the same thing. It's not even racing all over the place. It's fixated on one little thing and you just can't seem to shake it. It's like there's this ruminating. Some reason the brain thinks it's going to figure it all out so it's not a problem anymore, and meanwhile, you won't let it go. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how do we convince our mind to stop it? How do we convince our mind to forget about it, you know, to let go of something? And I would say that that really is what our entire principle is based on. It is about changing our mind. Changing our mind. The very, putting those three words together, yeah, three, changing your mind, it implies that there's action. So this morning, I want you to be thinking about being the ruler of your own kingdom, being the Tony Soprano of your own life. And I want you to realize that you are indeed the creator of your own well-being. And it is about that freedom that Holmes speaks about in that original quote. It is about how well we understand the way the law works in our life, not just the universal laws. That's how we start. But it doesn't work if we don't start applying it to our own lives. So here's a gorgeous theme quote that really settled in for me as a big piece of what I want to say this morning. It comes from our Science of Mind textbook, again, Ernest Holmes. As we bring ourselves to a greater vision, we induce a greater concept, and thereby we demonstrate more in our experience. In this way, there is a continuous growth and unfoldment taking place. See, now this is important because what it says is it reminds us that growth is continuous, that we're always growing and stretching, and that life is for that experience. Like the name of that book, what's the name of that book again? What's in the way is the way. So sometimes the conditions or the troubles or challenges in our lives look like they're keeping our good away from us, but that is not possible. It is the way. So what we teach here is that as we begin to be very observant in our own life, pay attention to the conditions in our own life, we start noticing those things, we come to understand that if there's anything in front of you that you are not satisfied with it, that you have the power to create a different end result. And it never ends. That ability to change your life goes on forever. So, for instance, let me be very practical here this morning. If I'm worried about finances in my life, and I notice that I'm ruminating about it, then I can direct my attention to the spiritual law of abundance. And I can begin to focus on prosperity, in an overflowing idea of prosperity in the way that the universe shows us, instead of looking at the limitation. If I am facing a loss in my life, let's say I'm getting ready to move, or somebody I love is moving, or I'm thinking of changing jobs, or I'm thinking of retiring, and so there's going to be, whether it's good or not, there's that experience of change, and it feels like a loss of something that we once had, then I'm going to call on that principle of gratitude. I'm going to bless what I've had, and I'm going to bless what's in my future. I'm not going to be sad about the past. I'm going to acknowledge my sadness, because that's a part of how we can be compassionate. It begins with being compassionate to yourself. But in a bigger way, we're learning to be compassionate with the bigger things. And I'm going to spend time blessing whatever deserves to be acknowledged and blessed in my life. If I'm going through an illness, I'm going to focus on health and wholeness and, again, well-being. So for every challenge we face, if we acknowledge it, on the opposite side of that is a spiritual principle we can use to create that greater vision that Holmes is talking about. So when I focus on truth, on spiritual truth, I forget about the problem because I'm pulling my attention away from the problem. And if that problem comes back in my mind, I know I've got the power to change it again, and I just keep affirming that right where I am, God is. Right where I am, truth is. There's something more to be seen here. So, when skillfully applied, forget about an ability clears away mind clutter. Just try and say that word. So I made it up, but it's a really good word. Forget about an ability. We're always growing in that insight and understanding, as Holmes says. Learn to focus on what you want, and your thoughts will not be so scattered. All of us have heard that expression, energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows where attention grows. We're talking about the law of attraction. I have a small booklet in my office that I have repurchased several times because I keep thinking it's going to be another book, and it comes to me, and it's the same old pamphlet I keep buying. Roy Herbert Jarrett, 100 years ago, published about the same time as Holmes began to publish his books. He wrote this little pamphlet. I don't think he did another thing, but he's famous for it. And the pamphlet is called It Works. Sound familiar? Some of you have seen it. If you've been in New Thought for a while, it doesn't matter where you've been in New Thought. It's been around for a long time. I read a book review on it recently, and I went ahead and ordered it again, and it comes. It's this little pamphlet. It sounds like a great book. But here's the deal about this little pamphlet. The reason it's still spoken about with such credibility is that it has a very unique, simple approach to how it works. Number one, make a list of everything you desire. Write down the things that you would desire to have or experience or be, the characteristics you'd like to exhibit. Write them down. Just write it down so you can see it, so you know, so you can acknowledge what you want. And then number two, he says, read it every day, every morning. Every morning before you leave the house, read your list of those things that you desire. If you want to put more things on that list, go ahead. If something's changed, you don't need that one anymore because you already secured it, then make a new list. But read your list every day. And number three, he has an interesting comment. He says, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what's on your list. It's between you and God. So it's an important lesson in our life that the life that we manifest is reflecting to us the things we have most focused our attention upon. In the Bible, it says, renew your thoughts, transform your life. There's a much longer version of it in the Bible. But renew your thoughts and transform your life. And I love that scripture from Romans. I love it so much, I beg to have it on the wall over here. We put a shortened form of it on the wall because I think it is the scripture in the Bible that most speaks to what we believe in this tradition, that you renew your thoughts. What are we called? New thought. You know, get rid of the old thoughts that aren't serving you so you can have a new thought in place of that. And somebody said to me fairly recently, like, you know, I was with a new person who was kind of put off that you had a Bible scripture on the wall. And I thought, well, first I thought, well, for God's sake, it's church. You know, I mean, but I know it's not church for all of us. but you know, it's kind of church. And then I thought that really made me think. And here's what I've decided is that religion doesn't own the Bible. No church owns the Bible. That we quote from the Bible and we are, do not fool yourself, we are made Jesus is the example that we're made of. Doggone it, I caught your disease, Miss Sue. We certainly are a teaching based on the teachings and example of Jesus. That's what I was trying to say. So just know that you don't have to be Christian or Jewish to love the Bible or to love certain passages of the Bible. And you don't have to, if you hate the Bible, you don't have to throw it all out. There are words of wisdom in there. And the words are powerful because we, the people, all the people, not us, but all the people, have given them so much credibility over time that the meaning can be enhanced by that. It can also be watered down if you don't listen. So that's why I like to talk about the teachings that are so pure and so science of mind. So we study ancient wisdom. We study all religions. I quote from everybody. And we teach that there's always a new thought waiting to emerge. But we call it up. We make the space for it. We become the container to express that holy newness. And then in the last 100 years, maybe not even 100, maybe less than that, but we've had a new emphasis on noticing the feelings that your thoughts create. Those are the things we talk about in here. And as we look at that, and we look at all the brain research they're doing, we look at the way science and spirituality are talking about the mind, the way that this teaching and all of New Thought came from this belief that it is possible to heal your body. Originally, it was physical healing by the power of your mind, mental healing, we used to call it in Quimby's day. And then we attach that idea that the more the thought has a feeling of it being real, the more powerful the actual end result is. So what we know is that feelings are a product of the mind. Listen carefully. Feelings are a product of your mind. If you don't like how you're feeling, change your mind. Takes us all the way back to the top of the message this morning. And thoughts and emotions are living processes. They're not good, they're not bad, they are however we make them to be. Because the bottom line is, we are all creators. We are creating the reality of our life one thought at a time. And whether we are skilled or in many ways in using the tools that we teach, or whether you are completely ignorant to them and you have no interest in learning any skills, it still doesn't matter. We are all participating at the very same level in this thing called life. So I want to give you an example. So I thought of a great story and a great example. I was thinking about zucchini. Don't ask me why, I have no idea. But zucchini is one of the most prolific little buggers you could put in your garden, right? So I was thinking how, you know, you plant a zucchini and you never just plant one plant, you plant a row of them usually, you know, and then they are so freaking prolific. And so I didn't want to go buy seeds to show you, but let's pretend I had one single zucchini seed. Well, maybe somebody here has. Anybody got a zucchini seed on them? No? Well, okay, follow me in your imagination then. One little zucchini seed. If you've never gardened or planted zucchini, it's a squash seed. It's a squash seed. It's very plain. It's very ordinary. It's white. It's flatter than a sunflower seed, a little bigger. There's nothing special about it. You know, if I passed out seeds today so you could each take home your zucchini seed, a good minister might have done that. Let me rephrase that. Another minister might have done that. But I was thinking then, if I had this seed that I got at a service like this and I had a good intent of taking it home, what would you do with it so that it would make it all the way home? Because it's kind of insignificant. It's just a seed. And I thought, well, I'd probably put it in my purse like I do most things. And then I know that the end result would be that I would forget about it being in my purse and eventually it would wither and be nothing. By the time I get around to cleaning the very bottom of that purse where that seed would probably end up, the seed itself wouldn't have much value. But a seed, one zucchini seed, has tremendous potential. I Googled it. I did an internet search. How much zucchini can one plant produce?
A lot.
A lot. Fast. So fast. It's very quick at giving us food. One single plant, that could come from one single seed. We usually plant two or three seeds to make sure something comes up. But one seed, one plant, makes 10 to 25 pounds of squash. Fact number one. 10 to 25 pounds of squash. Fact number two, most of us get tired of eating it before it quits producing. Fact number three, once you get tired of eating it, you have to get really clever in how you're going to get rid of it. And so we freeze it, we bake it, we pickle it, we try giving it away, you put it on people's porches when they leave, because then they won't know who left it there. We get very creative. There's a lot to do with squash, and so we look to do a lot with squash. You think I'm done? The list says you can freeze it or bake it, bake with it, pickle it. You think, what, think I'm done? Forget about it. I went and typed a list. And these are some of the things you can do with squash. I went through a whole website and I just wrote down the things that tickled me the most. And so here it is. You can fry it, you can steam it, you can mash it, you can grill it, you can eat it raw. You can eat the flowers. The flowers are edible. You can make soup or stew or pasta or pizza. You can use it for breakfast. You can make waffles or frittatas or quiche or muffins. And if you want to be really fancy, you can make panko fries out of it. You can make baba ganoush out of it. You can make zucchini butter and zucchini fritters. And then there's a whole long list of different zucchini salads you could make. And that doesn't even begin to talk about the dessert list, because then you could make brownies and bread and cake and cobbler and cookies and so on and so forth. The list goes on and on and on. It's absolutely loaded with potential. And of course, I've never done this, but I suppose you could harvest the seeds for your next planting. And so one tiny little seed represents infinite possibilities. Do you see? And I'm just talking about zucchini. We're just talking about one little aspect of life. So here's the point. If I have an interest in growing zucchini, if is the key word here, if I have an interest in growing zucchini, I am going to cultivate not only the earth, but I am going to cultivate my own mind to keep me in that place of growing healthy, wonderful zucchini. Right? So I'm going to maybe study a little bit about gardening if I don't know anything about gardening. I'm going to talk to my gardening friends and get tips on how to have a healthy garden. I may do some research, watch some YouTubes, I don't know. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to develop a state of mind that's favorable for the end result that I desire. Do you follow where I'm going here? So we nourish an idea by giving attention to it. We think about it. We might study it. We cultivate our own interest in it until it becomes a talent or a skill. Emma Curtis Hopkins worded it this way. Oh, I love Emma. Understanding your authentic yearnings. Back to Holmes, understanding. Understanding your authentic yearnings imbues you with special energy. It gives you special focus and effectiveness. Well, I want to be imbued with special energy, right? I want to know how to focus my thoughts. And all of this is right here. And here's the thing. Each and every one of us has that power. We are all capable of using our life force to create something new. And I call it a life force. It's that energy. And however you direct that energy, that life force will follow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. It has no investment in whether we want to grow zucchini or we want to grow carrots. It doesn't care. It will simply follow that path because energy flows where our attention goes, and that's what grows. So let's talk about the things we may not know we're growing. Worries, resentments, relationships that aren't going quite the way we want them to, disappointments. We live in the world we create based upon what we think. So don't cultivate your own suffering. You don't got to do that. Big sigh up here. We don't have to cultivate our own suffering. Rather, forget about it. Let it go. Think of something you'd rather think of. So let me show you what it looks like. I think I got this. So I lived in Asia for a while, couldn't get ice. I have a real issue with not having enough ice. I sometimes say I have an ice scarcity consciousness, and I carry it around with me. You go to Starbucks with me, and I order iced coffee. I always ask for extra ice, and then I check it out before they give it to me, and sometimes I ask for more ice. I have an ice scarcity issue. I could heal it, I suppose. I don't know. It's just a thought. Kids. What's up with kids these days? Doggone it, it's a lot to think about all the time. Oh, thanks a lot, Mary. There's an election coming. Oh, I don't even want to think about that. Sheesh. Singapore. You know, you got to be careful. You go to Singapore, be careful what you eat. I was in Singapore in 1995, and I got some bad fish on a tour. Oh, that was the sickest I have ever been. I am never going to Singapore again. I've got enough of that stuff. I'm not playing with that stuff anymore. Who else has got something for me here? I'll be back. I got something big here. What is this? Oh, prescription drugs. I was watching TV the other day, and they keep promoting this new drug for rheumatoid arthritis. And then they show you all the things that could go wrong. But the more I think about it, I got some aches and pains. I'm not so sure. I might not have some of that rheumatoid arthritis. Oh, whew. Stuff is heavy. What is this over here? Oh man, it's hot. Whew. These books are heavy. It's hot outside. It's summertime again. Oh yeah. Don't know. Well, wait, I'm building to something here. Gotta hang on to it first. Gotta feel how heavy it is first. Oh, the news. I read the news today. Oh boy. News. Oh, something on the news. Did I miss one? No. It would ruin the whole example. Nope. Thank you. So there's a reason I'm doing this. It's working. Oh, Fiat. Anybody drive a Fiat? I had a little Fiat once. It was nothing but trouble. That car was a lemon. I will never drive another Fiat. Ever. And then there's zucchini. What do you do with all that zucchini? And then one day you just realize you're tired of carrying this all around. Forget about it. And that, my friends, is forget about ability. There's a word for it in brain science. They call it neuroplasticity. I know nothing. I saw this brief definition. It said the brain's ability to recognize itself by forming neural connections. Sue Witter, on the other hand, knows everything about it. And she teaches it, and she's sort of certificated in teaching it, so she knows everything about the brain. You want to know anything, that check in with her. But here's what I surmised from my brief little dive into researching it. Anytime we have a series of repeated thoughts, not enough ice, not enough ice, whoa, is it hot, wow, I think I have that disease, Fiats. So when we have repeated thoughts, it creates new circuits in our brain. And once they are installed, they tend to perpetuate themselves. In other words, when we talk about you have the belief first, and then the brain sets out to prove to you it's true, everything in my experience will prove to me there's not enough ice in the world. And there it goes. So it's a complex idea, but we have been teaching it in a less complex way for more than 100 years, and there's some beauty and truth in it. We are creating our own lives. We become like the sorcerer's apprentice without even realizing it. Remember that Disney classic, Mickey Mouse is at the end of the movie, he's wearing the robe and the hat and he's conducting this, and all of this stuff he's creating is swooshing and swirling, and it feels like it's sort of out of control. It grows and it grows. And that's what happens when we ruminate on things that are out of our control. Sometimes we even make up a horror story of what could happen, and we get kind of enchanted with the story we're telling in our head. Kind of disappointing when everything works out okay sometimes. So our thoughts that we ruminate on, they grow and they grow and they multiply and they become more real, and we don't seem to realize that all along we're wearing the robe and the hat and conducting the orchestra, and that all we have to do is stop it, release it, forget about it, change our direction. And so here's the deal, here's the takeaway today. I've given you a lot to take away, but here's something I want to say to you. If you don't like squash, plant something else in your garden. If you don't like gardening, get out of the dirt. You know, leave it to the people that love it. Try needlepoint or auto mechanics, or maybe look for some way to serve. Babysit your grandkids. Or something. But decide what you would rather be experiencing in your life. Know what's on your list, the things you want to have, the way you want to be, the things you'd like to do, the experiences you would like to have expressed through you. Make your list, read your list every day, and remember that Holmes says, what thought has done, thought can undo. So whatever's going on in your life that you're not happy with, create a new pattern, shift your energy, make some choices, and grow something new in your life. I'd like to close this morning with this thought from Ernest Holmes, who says, these are brilliant words. Thought has the power to consciously oppose, to neutralize, to erase, and obliterate any opposite mental attitude. It is because of this fact that this study, the science of mind, is a science that can definitely be used. So remember what matters. Choose how you'd like to feel. Participate in your life. Don't carry around a bunch of stuff that gets pretty heavy. Stop it. Forget about it. And think a new thought. So I'd like to anchor these ideas in words instead of books. And I would at this time call forward the practitioners, the ministers, any ministerial students, so that we might surround this room and speak the powerful words of prayer together. So just get comfortable where you're seated. Take a deep breath. And join me in knowing that right where we are, God is. We pause as we move into that inner space, recognizing that incredible presence of God. It is life. It is joy, it is harmony, it is the infinite wisdom of all the universe. And I feel that love within me even now. It is that movement of life that is the activity of growth, of holy newness, of possibility. And so in this moment, as we recognize we are one with all of life, of all that is, as we recognize that we are made in the image and likeness of that one, realizing yet again that we are creative beings and that we are given this amazing gift to transform our lives simply by renewing our thought. And so we sit here in this room, we stand in this great circle of life. We open our hearts to recognize the yearnings that call us, knowing that there is always more, that this great way, that the cycle of life is infinite and eternal, that we are called again and again to see a higher perspective. And so I know that within this body that we call human is something that is purely divine. It is that miraculous way in which we heal and we are restored to our wholeness. It is the way that all of life is fed by the same universal truths, that we shine and we grow in that light, in that divine light of truth and of love, that we thrive in companionship, that we grow in relationships, that we stand firm in all that we believe, so that we know there is always a little more life, a little more love, that there is always more. And so we know that life will not let us stand for too long in any one place, that nature always calls us to grow and to move and to stretch and to face the light. And so this day we do that. In great boldness, we claim all the good that we know is ours. We know that as much as we desire and yearn to express our good, that our good yearns to be expressed by us. And so we open our minds and our hearts. We feel the movement of the Holy Spirit in this room. It is that very activity of life that heals, that restores us, that nudges us to say yes to change, that allows us to recognize what we can accept and what we can release. And knowing that in this way, this circle of life is always complete, always reiterating the same truths again and again. And so we thin out our bookshelves and we lighten our loads, because the truth we need is already within us. And I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for showing us yet again this way to move through this thing called life. And in a spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law that always responds affirmatively. I release it and let it go, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.